This summer, British media have jumped on a story about an alleged coup plot against the tiny, oil-rich West African nation of Equatorial Guinea. Many see the story as a comedy of errors, and the cast of characters is full of rich and prominent Britons, including former Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher's son, Mark. NPR's Anthony Kuhn reports from London.
Mark Thatcher's colorful past has been a sumptuous feast for Britain's tabloid press. Over the years, Fleet Street has recounted a string of failed business ventures and alleged shady dealings, from race car companies to construction contracts. It noted his 1987 marriage to Texas millionaire Diane Bergdorf, and when young Thatcher inherited his baronetcy from his late father, the press dubbed him Sir Mark. Now he sits confined to his hometown of Cape Town, South Africa. He's awaiting trial in November on charges that he helped finance the alleged coup. And South African lawyers are preparing to interrogate him this month. Patrick Smith, the editor of the London-based newsletter Africa Confidential, says that the misadventures of Sir Mark are less a full-blown political scandal than an amusing read in the Sunday papers.
The whole episode from start to finish is seen by most of British people I know as what we call a Whitehall farce. Most people think it's something like a Keystone Cops coup. It's pretty much looked at with derision and humour by the Brits.
The coup plot bears an uncanny resemblance to Frederick Forsyth's 1974 novel, The Dogs of War. In it, a band of European mercenaries tries to topple the government of the small West African nation of Zangaro. Their aim is to set up a puppet dictatorship and seize the country's rich mineral reserves. In fact, Forsyth based Zangaro on Equatorial Guinea, now Africa's third largest oil producer. The real coup's alleged organizer is former British Special Forces operative Simon Mann. He's in jail in Zimbabwe, convicted of trying to purchase weapons there. Mann is a longtime friend of Thatcher, and he ran a private security company called Executive Outcomes. During the 1990s, the company reportedly muscled in on gold in Uganda, diamonds in Sierra Leone, and oil in Angola. While in prison, Mann wrote a letter to his wife and his lawyer seeking help and a large splodge of wonga, by which he meant a lot of money. The letter mentioned Margaret Thatcher's one-time policy advisor David Hart. Other prominent Englishmen allegedly involved in the plot include former Conservative Party politician Geoffrey Archer. All have denied any involvement in the affair. Alex Vines, head of the Africa program at the Royal Institute of International Affairs, says the cast of characters shares a background of wealthy families and upper-crusty private schools.
It's a very British story in that the leadership of this alleged coup in Equatorial Guinea all come from a particular British class. They carry a value system which is at times a bit patronising and arrogant, that they know best, that they are able to outsmart the natives.
Throughout the media coverage, the different sides have done their best to spin the story their way. The Equatorial Guinean government has tried to portray Simon Mann and his band of men as terrorists. Mann's supporters make him out to be a freedom fighter taking on a dictator. Editor Smith says these arguments miss the point.
I don't think anyone really has the moral high ground in this rather ridiculous episode. Certainly it tells us that the way to get rid of tyrannies is not to hire an army of mercenaries to fly in and overthrow them.
Africa expert Vines adds that ultimately the incident is likely to focus further attention on abuses committed by private military contractors, an issue in the spotlight not just in Africa but also in Iraq. Anthony Kuhn, NPR News, London.